Please repeat after me.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Jai Jagannath.
Jai Jagannath.
Jai Jagannath.
So we have gathered on the most auspicious occasion of Jagannath Rath Yatra. Lord Jagannath is Krishna in a very special form, a very ecstatic form. There are different explanations of how Lord Jagannath assumed the form that we see. And I will tell just one of those stories based on a tradition in Orissa. As you may know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he appeared on earth about 5,000 years ago. And when he was on earth, he played the part of the perfect person. I mean, he was the perfect person. But he engaged in Nayalila, human-like pastimes. And from his birth until the age of 15, he enjoyed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, enjoying loving relationships with various pure devotees, liberated personalities, and out of them, the person who loved Krishna the most, whose love was the most pure, was Srimati Radharani. So when we worship Krishna in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy with Radharani, that is Radha Kala Chandri. Later, Krishna left Vrindavan and went to stay with his you could say original father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, in Dwarka. And on the occasion of a lunar eclipse, Krishna and his sister Subhadra and his brother Balaram got on chariots and went to Kurukshetra to observe the eclipse. And Krishna with his brother Balaram and sister Subhadra is Lord Jagannath. When the devotees in Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and others heard that Krishna was going to be in Kurukshetra, which was much closer to Vrindavan than Dwarka, they decided to go to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna. But when Radharani saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, dressed as a royal prince, not with his peacock feather and flute in his hand. And when she saw him surrounded by elephants and horses and chariots and warriors, she missed the beautiful, sweet, village atmosphere of Vrindavan. And she wanted to take Krishna with her back to Vrindavan so that they could enjoy loving exchanges as they had in their childhood in the forest of Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna River at Govardhan Hill. So this festival of Rath Yatra was observed 500 years ago by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. According to scripture, he is Krishna himself, but he came as a devotee to show us in the present age of Kali Yuga how to worship Krishna and how to realize our eternal spiritual identities. So the main process that he gave us was the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He gave us the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave us the association of devotees. He revealed to us the significance and importance of holy places like Mayapur, Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri. And he gave us the process of deity worship. And the observance of Rath Yatra is part of that process of deity worship. And it was especially enjoyed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in Puri. And when he observed the Rath Yatra, he was in the mood of Radharani feeling separation from Krishna and wanting to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So he moved in pulling the chariot with the mood of Radharani trying to pull Krishna back to Vrindavan. So this festival has a lot of feeling devotees. We may not have those feelings, but if we just join in the chanting and dancing and taking a prasad, we will make progress toward that ultimate goal us developing love, feelings of separation from Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested those feelings, especially in Jagannath Puri, and his next followers, the six Goswamis, they were also in the same mood of separation. Hey Radhe Vajadevike Chabavike Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. Hey Radhe O Radharani Vajadevike Queen of Vrindavan Chabavike and Lalita Devi. Hey Nanda Suno O Son of Nanda Krishna Kutaha. Where are you? She goes to Dana Kalpa Palapatale. Are you by Govardhan Hill? Or are you on the banks of the Jamuna River? Govardhan Stav Iti Sarvato Vajapure Kedaya Mahadivalo. The six Goswamis were wandering all over Vrindavan and loudly shouting, O Radha, O Krishna, where are you? Vanda Rupa Sanatana Vadiyaka Shijiva Gopalaka. We offer our obeisances to the six Goswamis. So feelings of separation are necessary. We feel separation when there is some attachment. For example, if we have some money and we leave it, we will think about that money. Where did my money go? Or if we are devotees and we misplace our beads, our chanting beads, our japa mala, where are my beads? Where did they go? Where did I leave them? Because we have some attachment. If there is no attachment, we cannot have feelings of separation. And our whole process is to develop attachment for Krishna and his devotees. So, in the beginning we may not have such attachment or such feelings, but we participate in these festivals and chant and dance and take prasad and pull the ropes and listen to talks about Krishna. And that will gradually move us forward along the path. But these activities are quickly effective when we make Krishna the goal of our life. If we take Krishna consciousness as our religion, something we do on Sunday or on holidays, that's good. It's a beginning. But mixing Krishna consciousness with material activities dilutes the potency of the process. But if we are firmly determined that I must become Krishna conscious in this lifetime, I do not want to come back again and take birth in this material world
and suffer. I don't want to be subject to being tossed by the waves of material nature. I want to become Krishna conscious in this life. Then we can make progress, better progress. We can actually take to the process. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam, that those who are free from sinful reactions and who have engaged in pious activities, they are free from the dualities of delusion, and they can engage in devotional service. So we are all suffering sinful reactions. It is due to sinful reactions that we suffer, and it is due to sinful reactions that we have doubts, that we remain in duality. Should I become Krishna conscious, or should I try to enjoy the world? We have doubts. We're in duality. Krishna consciousness is good, but will I really be able to be successful? And what if I put my efforts into Krishna consciousness and I'm not successful? So that's duality. That type of duality afflicts people who are not free from sinful actions and reactions. Or we think, what if I surrender to Krishna? Will he really take care of me? So many doubts. This is duality. And this duality continues as long as we have sinful reactions. So to become free from sinful reactions, we engage in these activities, chanting, dancing, honoring prasad, hearing Krishna prasad. And as we become purified, we become free from these doubts and dualities. And then we can wholeheartedly take to the process. Now someone may say or think that I have material desires. What about me? Sometimes people worship demigods for the fulfillment of their material desires. They worship Lord Shiva or Goddess Durga or Ganesh. And this type of worship is recommended for people who are less intelligent, who have material desires, so that eventually they can come to the worship of Vishnu or Krishna. Because even in the worship of demigods, Vishnu is always there. He presides over every sacrifice. Whatever benefits the demigods give, they can give it only with the sanction of Vishnu or Krishna. But after prescribing so many different duties to worship for different purposes, you know, worshiping the sun, Surya, the sun god, for good health. I need not elaborate, but so many deities to worship for so many different purposes. But then Srimad Bhagavatam says that for liberation from this miserable cycle of repeated birth and death, one should worship Vishnu. And further, Srimad Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Akama means those who are without desires. That means devotees. Only devotees are without desires. Means their only desire is to serve Krishna. Akama, sarvakama. Or if one is full of desires, full of material desires, and moksha-kama, if one desires liberation from the material world, if one is broad-minded, tivrena bhakti yogena, he will engage in bhakti yoga. Tivrena means with great intensity. The word tivra is related to the rays of the sun. The pure, unobscured rays of the sun are very powerful. So one engages in bhakti yoga, tivrena, with great intensity. It doesn't matter whether he has no desires or is full of material desires or desires liberation. He will achieve the supreme destination if he engages intensely. And that requires some effort. That requires some determination. It also requires association. If we're associating with materialistic people all the time, we're bound to be influenced by them. Man is a social animal. We need company. But if we keep company with devotees, especially pure devotees, then by their association, by their influence, by hearing their instructions and following their instructions, we can also become a pure devotee. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Our desires develop from our association. And therefore the association of devotees is so important. Srila Prabhupada said 90% of Krishna consciousness is association. So you have to make the effort to associate with pure devotees. Specifically, in the process of chanting and hearing about Krishna and rendering service to Krishna and his devotees. Not socially, socially is okay, but really to chant and hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, to serve Krishna, to make advancement. So there are different stages in that process of spiritual progress. The first is Shraddha, adult Shraddha. One develops some faith and attraction. Many of you have some Shraddha, That's why you're here. Ado Shraddha Tatha Stasi Sangha. Then when one gets that, develops some faith and attraction, that comes from associating with devotees. But that may be in a more casual way or sporadic way. But when one actually develops firm faith, Shraddha, then Tatha Sadhu Sangha, then he will associate more regularly with devotees, more systematically. And then he'll think, as one young man approached me during the festival today, I'm feeling very inspired. Now I want to take initiation now. I want to be serious. So, Ago Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya. I want to fully adopt the process of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, and take initiation. So today, as part of the Rathyatra festival, we will be having an initiation ceremony to fortunate souls. Will be receiving initiation from His Holiness Tathagatasvami Maharaj. And this marks a very significant point in the sojourn of the living entity within the material world. Lord Chaitanya instructs, Brahmanda Dhamite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Brahmanda Dhamite. Brahmanda Dhamite means within the universes. Some people think there's only one universe. But according to this verse, Brahmanda Dhamite, within the multitude of universes, Brahmanda Dhamite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, a living entity, when he becomes fortunate, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed of devotional service, the seed of the creeper of devotion. So this is a most significant event. The Vedas tell us that everyone gets a mother and father, but it is only a very rare, fortunate soul who gets a spiritual master. Bhagyavana, Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, fortunate. What is that fortune? What makes someone fortunate? Many devotional scholars have commented on this word, but the conclusion is that one becomes fortunate by rendering service to pure devotees. So that's why you are already fortunate. You've come to the Rathyatra, you've pulled the chariot, you've done service for the festival, for the devotees, for the deities. So that is adding to your spiritual bank account. Every little service, it's like putting 1 cent in your spiritual bank account. It's not much, but if you keep making deposits, 1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent, it adds up. Eventually you'll have $100. In fact, you can actually do something with it. So, yesham pandagatam papam, when one is freed from simple actions and reactions, janamam punyakamanam, and has engaged in pious activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that there are three categories of pious activities. There's bhavimukha sukriti, that means a pious activity that leads to material enjoyment. Then there's mukti unmukha sukriti, pious activities that lead to impersonal liberation. And there's bhakti unmukha sukriti, pious activities that lead to bhakti. And what is that, bhakti and mukha sukriti? It is serving pure devotees. You may not even know that you're serving a pure devotee. You may not even know what a pure devotee is. But by cooperating with him or her, helping him or her, you get some pious credit. Pulling the ropes of the chariot, 1 cent. Well, with inflation, I mean, Prabhupada said 1 cent was the $1, even $10. Okay, $1. Okay, $1, pull the rope, take some prasad, another dollar in your spiritual bank account. Offer some water to the money, another deposit. And all those deposits add up. And when they reach a certain point, you can do something with those pious credits. And eventually you can come to that stage of surrendering to Krishna through his representative, the spiritual master, and take initiation. So initiation is a very serious commitment. It's not something light. As Srila Prabhupada said, one should not accept a guru as a fashion. But as so many others are getting initiated by a guru, I also have a guru. As so many people have iPhones, I also get an iPhone. Of course, iPhones, I mean, they can have some utility, I'm not, as a fashion. So many people do things as a fashion because others are doing it. We should not accept a guru as a fashion or to get some social acceptance or prestige. We should accept a guru because we're very serious to put an end to the repetition of birth and death. We're very serious to realize our eternal spiritual identity in this very life. Tad vijñānārtham sa guruṁ eva bhikkhuṣyat. Then one must approach a spiritual master. Śraya uttama. When one is interested in śraya uttamam, the highest benefit, then one should approach a spiritual master. Śrayas. There are two words, śrayas and prayas. Śrayas means ultimate benefit, and prayas means immediate gratification. But some people approach a guru for prayer, some immediate gratification. Oh, I'm suffering from some disease. Guruji, bless me. Cure me of my disease. As Srila Prabhupada said, you don't need a guru to cure you of your disease. You need a doctor. Or, I need a husband for my daughter, or a wife for my son. Please give me your blessings. And you don't need a guru for that. You need, I don't know, a matchmaker, a good website or something, I don't know. You don't need a guru for that. So many material blessings we want, and we approach a saintly person or a guru for material blessings. That is prayas, not shreyas. One should approach a spiritual master, shreya uttamam. When one is inquisitive into the ultimate benefit of life. So these new initiates, we believe, have come forward to His Divine Grace, His Holiness Ratatpaja Swami Maharaj, for guidance on how to realize the ultimate goal of life, how to become a pure devotee of Krishna, how to serve Krishna in pure love, how to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with pure consciousness, and go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. That should be our determination. So, I'm thinking it would be nice to have the initiates up here. So now we'd like to request the new initiates to come forward and take their places on the stage. Yeah, maybe they can. Maybe how you can be there, and then they would be like directly with their backs towards the samadhi and the other devotees.
Just sit there.
So you'll speak now? Right
here?
Yeah. Okay. Should I?
I feel like you want to say something more.
Also in Srimad Bhagavatam, very similar to the one I quoted, that says that chanting the holy name, following the ways of the great acharyas, is the doubtless and fearless method to achieve success, whether one has no desires, or is full of desires, or desires liberation. The same idea, very similar verse. So, as Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas have conceived of the initiation process, there are two divisions. The first is Harinam initiation, the initiation into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And then the second part is Gayatri Diksha. After one has been steady in chanting the holy name and following the regulative principles for some time, he may be awarded a second initiation and given the Gayatri mantra, and then the person becomes eligible to worship the deity. So, now we shall request His Holiness Ratapta Goswami Maharaj to speak a little about the holy name and the ten essentials and any other topics that he deems appropriate for this auspicious occasion. Hare Krishna.
Jana Tamalandesha 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 Jana Tamaland
Today we are celebrating Rath Yatra. As Maharaj is saying, the very auspicious day. And we're also offering initiation, first initiation of Harinam initiation to Bhakta Bab and to Bhakta Gajarad. And Vinod Bihari will be getting his second initiation from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. As Maharaj is saying that this material world offers many obstacles, and Arjuna is feeling very perplexed in his attempt and approached Krishna, Kalpanya Dosha Jisamatana. So I accept him now. Now I'm confused. Kalpanya Dosha, I'm confused about my duty. And I don't know not what's best for me. Please instruct me. Now I'm a disciple, Shishya. Now I'm a disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. So these gentlemen have approached us for initiation into the Brahmapura, and today we will accept them on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Brahmapura into our disciplic succession. In the chanting of Hare Krishna, it is stated by Lord Chaitanya, Nanamakari Bahujani Jasarva Shakti, that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. And for the shakti, all this shakti of potency that the Lord has is contained within the name. So these gentlemen have completed at least 1 year of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on their day 16 rounds per day, and have followed four regulated principles. Even though there are no hard and fast rules, we have our four regulated principles, which are no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. I remember reading a book by Satya Maharaj, and he was saying that prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, we did not even know that these things were sinful. But coming to Krishna consciousness and coming to the feet of Srila Prabhupada, we were taught what is right and what is wrong. Along with no rules and regulations comes 10 offenses. So it seems like there are some rules that we must follow. So if one gets serious, this is a child, when he's a baby, he's just directed by the father and mother out of harm's way, but as they grow, it becomes more and more direction is given, more and more direction is given, so they can fly on their own, and hopefully they fly properly. So the first offense against the Holy Name is to grant certain devotees who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the Holy Name of the Lord. So one has to be very, very careful. I know one devotee was talking to me, and he says, people come to Krishna consciousness and we cannot choose our brothers and sisters. Sometimes they may be a little odd. Sometimes they may be a little annoying. Sometimes they may be very blissful, sometimes they may be very great. There's all varieties. Just like in our own family, sometimes we have those who we appreciate and sometimes we have those who are less appreciated. But in Krishna consciousness, we realize that when one comes to the point of placing himself under the care of the bona fide spiritual master and in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement, that this is a very, very important and great step, that these people have to be respected. And one should not blaspheme them, one should not criticize them. The example is given that if someone is in the shower, you don't complain that he's dirty. He's in the shower getting cleaned up, and you say, today you're covered with dirt. No. Sometimes it may be your position as a friend. There are different classifications of devotees, and one makes friends with others of his own caliber to advance in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes friends assist other friends by pointing out defects, or senior members may, as the father may correct the son, the spiritual master may correct the disciple, or senior devotee may do so, but that is out of service. It has to be done very carefully and very tactfully with great expertise, in order to not commit offense. So you do not commit offense at the lotus feet of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, but to be very, very careful and appreciate each and every person who has come into contact with this Krishna consciousness movement, and is somehow or another, on whatever level, dedicating their lives to serving Krishna. The second offense is to consider demigods like Lord Indra, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. The demigods, just like I was reading in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, that even Lord Brahma, the first living entity of this universe, is a jiva soul. He just is empowered by Krishna to create the material situation. They cannot offer liberation. Even Brahma was asked by Hiranyakashipu, who had performed many great austerities, to please give me immortality. And Lord Brahma says, I do not possess immortality myself, therefore how can I give it to you? course, let me guess, you first tried to go around the back door. That's a different story. But the one who did that is Krishna. With respect for the demigods, as we are of every living entity. Every living entity has to be respected because the soul resides within there and the super soul resides there also. So the Lord is respectful of every living entity, let's just think of the demigods. So we do not equate the demigods to be equal to or independent of Krishna. The third offense is to blaspheme the spiritual master, or disobey the spiritual master's orders, or to consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary personality. It's described that the spiritual master may look a little odd, may come from an obscure background, may have different peculiarities, but just like the Ganges water somehow or another looks dirty, one understands the Ganges to be pure, and does not hesitate to take baths for purification. So one has to follow the orders of the spiritual master of one's life and soul. Srila Prabhupada heard that verse, Jyāvasi-ātmikā-bhūrya-ekihā-kūra-nandanam. And when we read the purport by Baladeva Vichyabhūtan, Vishnu-nāt-chākavākī, that one should take the instructions of the spiritual master of one's life and soul. So one should take that direction of guru as one's life and soul and execute it properly and not find fault and not consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person but to be a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and servitorship. It's a service rendered to the disciple by the spiritual master to guide him or her in their spiritual quest and spiritual life, and it is an honor today to be here to assist these gentlemen in their pursuit. And we accept them in that way, on behalf of our spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or any literature which is in pursuit of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be exaggeration. There are many, what would you call it, glories of the holy names given in the scriptures. And one should not think that they're just there to make us feel good. But they're there actually as a purpose to actually help us understand that by doing this non-kirtan, this non-sankirtan, this chanting of the holy name, that we'll receive all benefit. Chaita Dharapana Marjananda Vamahani Nivarpana, that will cleanse the heart. The heart is impure, this material attachment, and by chanting the holy name, all that misgiving will go away. All that is all the analysis will be removed. The fourth offense, the sixth offense, is to give some unknown interpretation of the holy name of the Lord, to think of that something else. The seventh offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. Just like it's mentioned that one who chants Hare Krishna cannot commit enough sins in one lifetime to, how do you say it, once chanting of Hare Krishna can overcome all kinds of sins. So one should not think Hare Krishna and then commit all kinds of sins and then Hare Krishna and then commit all kinds of sins and Hare Krishna and commit all kinds of sins. You should not do this. This is considered to be very, very poor behavior. And one should not commit sinful activities of the strength of chanting Hare Krishna, thinking that I can wash away all the bad things and then just go on with my daily sinful life. Then to take seriously to the chanting of Hare Krishna, avoiding these offenses. One should not consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are mentioned in the Vedas. There are so many activities which are listed in the scriptures. Some of them are scriptural, some of them are customary, some of them are deep, just like we were describing the other day, when Nanda Maharaj was approached by Krishna at the Indra Jagna. Is this something that's just scriptural, or is this something that's just our family tradition? There are so many different things that say, God, that we hear and we do. And we should not think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is just another thing like that. But that the chanting of Hare Krishna is Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Sala, Nisteva, 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 Vachanikar. It is the most basic college. It is the only way for purification of the heart. And not just an auspicious ritualistic activity which is mentioned in the Vedas. The ninth offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. I just read today to initiate someone who is not faithful to the chanting of Hare Krishna is considered to be an offense. So I was thinking, these gentlemen are very faithful. They have been chanting this Hare Krishna mantra quite regularly now for some time and have shown steadfastness in their pursuit of spiritual life and have come to the point of earning their right to chant for this initiation. We don't want to spread the glory of the Holy Name to the faithless persons. They'll misuse it. Just if you give something to an improper person, they'll misuse it. So if someone is giving the glory of the Holy Name, they'll only misuse. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in chanting Hare Krishna and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on the matter. We hear so many instructions about this material world, and we should not think that this is time of Hare Krishna will not eradicate all those activities. It is also considered to be an offense to be inattentive while chanting. When one chants Hare Krishna, one has to be very attentive. One should not be doing other things while chanting Hare Krishna. One should set aside a particular time and place and schedule for chanting the holy names. We learned in the Japa reforms to make our sacred space, wherever it may be. One should sit down firmly, or sometimes you might want to walk and chant, that's okay. But pick particularly a time and place which is dedicated to the holy name of the Lord, and to have faith in that, and to have attention in chanting. In the end of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that higher than the gross elements is the senses, and higher than the senses is the mind, and higher than the mind is the intelligence, and higher than the intelligence is the soul proper, and one should, by deliberate Krishna consciousness, deliberate, in other words, a deliberate act, perform devotional service. So one should deliberately chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a firm conviction that this mantra will give me all desires. Everything will come from this chanting of Hare Krishna. And one should take it very seriously and take it very up in a very powerful mood, understanding that I'm connecting myself to the specific succession through this non-kirtan, this chanting of Hare Krishna. So these are the ten offenses that must be avoided, even though there are no hard and fast rules. Even though there are no hard and fast rules, there are 10 offenses which we must avoid. So, when I was reading the day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying that one should understand these 10 offenses. One should memorize them. You should memorize these 10 offenses and concentrate. Most of these offenses are committed not when you're sitting down with your bead and your bead bag and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Most of these offenses are complete. Most of these offenses can be committed when one is engaged in his daily activities. Offenses to the Vaishnava, thinking of the demigods, Guru Aparad, Shastra Aparad, all these different things. So one molds his life in such a way now that he does not forget Krishna under any circumstance. And he continually has the holy name vibrating on his tongue, within his mind, within his heart. And we chant from the heart. We chant from the heart, the seed of the being distilled within the heart. And from the heart we chant this Hare Krishna mantra and you become purified, the intelligence becomes purified, the mind becomes purified, the senses become purified, and you get the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, in this lifetime. It's an amazing process. And it's a slow, it's just like shanai, shanai, step by step, gradually, we plow through, and there'll be obstacles. Just like in the eighth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Arjuna, if you think of me alone, and you perform this duty, and you just think of me, if you think of me alone, you'll come to me at the time of death. Prabhupada says in that purport, he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra two times, and he says that we should incessantly and constantly chant the holy names. But there'll be impediments along the way, but we should be Srinadati Samrachanatarati Sarishanat. We should be tolerant. We should be tolerant as a tree and humble like the grass. And in this way we can sit on the Rastadahari. We can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So,
do you want to say anything
more? I'm trying to. Okay. So, we appreciate everybody coming here to the festival and participating in this initiation. We ask you to kindly give your best wishes. And if you have blessings, to also give blessings to the initiates that they are able to complete their vows and to perform this Krishna consciousness throughout the rest of their lives that they're committing to today. So now Giriraj Maharaj said he'd like to say a little something about second initiation, and then we'll give out the deeds and the names of the new initiates.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Very enthusiastic. Yes, as we mentioned earlier, after receiving the first initiation and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly for some time and following the regulated principles for some time, the disciple may be offered the second initiation, which makes him eligible to worship the deity. Of course, anyone can worship the deity by seeing the deity being worshipped. That's also deity worship. So anyone who comes and sees the deities, takes part in the IT, takes part in the kirtan, they're also engaged in deity worship. But to enter the deity room and touch the body of the Lord, one must have second initiation. The idea is that one should be steady in Krishna consciousness. Mantra Vyabhicharana Bhakti Yogama Sevate Sadhanam Samatitaityam Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who is fully engaged in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, who does not fall down, he comes to the Brahman platform. So Krishna is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, and to serve the Supreme Brahman, we must be on the Brahman platform. Like to enter into fire, one must be fire. Otherwise, one is not considered eligible to touch the deity. If one does not maintain the standard of at least chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles. So this is also a wonderful opportunity to increase one's love for Krishna, increase one's attachment for Krishna by rendering personal service. We should always be conscious that we're dealing with Krishna. The deity is Krishna. when we chant the holy name also, we should be conscious that we're dealing with Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. And in that mood of respect and devotion, we can chant the holy name nicely and serve the deity nicely. And so we wish you all success, new first initiates and new second initiates. I didn't think of it till now because we're just seeing everyone here as devotees, as spirit souls. But we used to preach in South Africa, I still go to South Africa. And South Africa for many years was under the apartheid system where, you know, the blacks were kept with the blacks, the whites were kept with the whites, the Indians were kept with the Indians, and they weren't allowed to mix. It was actually against the law for a white person to spend the night in an Indian township or a black township, or it was against the law. So it was very risky for our devotees who went on Sankirtan. Because in our Sankirtan party, there could be a white, a black, an Indian. And technically, they would not be allowed to spend the night in the same township. So they took great risks, and sometimes they faced some frightening situations, but they persevered. And we always thought that Rafi Asher would be the perfect festival for South Africa because you have Jagannath, who's black, and Subhadra, who's yellow, and Balaram, who's white, and they're all together. And we had that today, and our initiates here, not that we think of Muslims, but it struck me just a few minutes ago, we have a black, a white, and an Indian, so we're Jagannath Murthy, we are all united. Hare Krishna. So.
Who do you want to come first, Mr. Mama? Who should come first? Who's come first, Bob? I guess you can come around this way, Bob, and then offer a basin to us. Make sure I got the right bead, too. So today you're asking for a pre-pledge in your initiation. And we ask you to make certain vows. And the vows are to follow the four regulative principles and to chant 16 rounds every day. And I want to know if you agree to do that.
Yes, I
agree. You do? What are the four regulative principles?
No intoxication,
no
addiction, no gain.
And chanting?
16
rounds every day. And you promise to do this? I also ask you to remain loyal to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON throughout your life. And we, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Disciplic Succession, accept you as our initiated disciple today. And we give you the name Jagannath Kripa Das. You're going to ask Krishna. Okay. You've got Jared, you can come over. His name is Gajarg. He doesn't have the biggest ticket I've ever seen. Should I offer a basis, sir? So today you are approaching for initiation, and according to initiation you are requested to follow four regulative principles to chant 16 rounds a day, and you are going to do that for the rest of your life?
Yes.
What are those four regulative principles?
No meat eating, fish, or eggs. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex.
And chanting?
16 rounds every day.
Attentively?
Yes.
Attentively. So, perhaps I should have thought that in the Pacific succession today, I accept you as my guru, the initiated disciple, and your name, new name from now on will be Balaram Shakti Das.
Balaram Shakti Das,